Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two.
Yep. With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
Nope.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
55305 is the Better You Today text line. Hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the mornings. Thank you for being with us. Coming up, hopefully soon, is Wide Right, due to some technical issues and maybe bumped back from 7:15. But we have a ton of NFL to get to, including an AFC playoff picture that is murky and an NFC playoff picture that could be set by almost the end of the night. If you look at the impact of the Monday night game, you can hear right here on the Fan between Seattle and Minnesota.
You know, we just talked about Kyler Murray. I just wanted to read this text. It was great heading to break. We'll revisit this, too, during the 8 o'clock hour. But this text came in. It said, am I allowed to vote when I'm 14?
Hold on. Reset real quick. What about Kyler Murray?
Okay, yeah, because things about Kyler Murray that were said on Twitter, and he used different types of, he used language that was offensive. Mm-hmm. And so this text said, and at 14 years old, it says, am I allowed to vote when I'm 14? Question mark. Am I allowed to drive when I'm 14? Am I allowed to drink when I'm 14? Am I allowed to serve my country at 14? Oh, so why am I expected to act as a result or as an adult and have responsibilities of an adult at 14? What are we doing here? And that was from P1 Leonidas.
I like that.
I thought it was great, too. The expectations of acting or asking a 14-year-old to act like adults. You're not an adult. You're not.
No.
I have a 14-year-old. He can be a moron.
Pretty dumb.
Not pretty dumb. Makes mistakes all the time. That's what they're supposed to do. I did the same thing. I was a complete moron when I was 14.
Yes.
So let's stop asking these kids to be somebody they're not, like a 30 or 40-year-old man. Now, if this was different, this was a grown man making these kind of mistakes,
then it would be a big difference.
Yeah.
It'd be a massive difference than stupid 14-year-old Kyler Murray. More on that coming up, including more on just the Heisman Trophy race itself and Kyler Murray's dominance throughout the run. That'll be next hour. Right now, though, it's 7:06.
What's hot?
Okay.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, Gary Anderson has landed on his feet, rehired as the head coach at Utah State. How about that?
Well, he had a one-year stint with a very good defensive line at Utah. Helped bring a Utah team to arguably one of the best defenses in the country. And he's going to head right on back to the friendly confines of Utah State. Did you see the names that were up for that job? There were some bigger names, guys that were considered for that job.
Like who?
Hoping that you know, I have the list in front. I'm gonna Google search. There were some guys in line for that job. There were some good, really were.
Huh. Well, Gary Anderson, it's amazing what you can do after leaving a program high and dry and the cupboard absolutely bare at Oregon State and literally leaving in the middle of the season. He was with the Aggies from 2009 to 2012 before being hired by Wisconsin and then again Oregon State after Wisconsin. Former Colorado coach Mike McIntyre, he got a new job already. He will be the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
So who was up? That's a really good. So did let you know, guys that were in line for that job for Utah State included Rich Rodriguez, Matt Canada, and Mark Helfrich. All were in line for that job over. But Gary Anderson ended up the one that they went after, just said, yes, I'll take it.
Huh.
But those three names were up for that job.
Wait, were they rumored to be? Because I heard the Helfrich one, and there was they never contacted Helfrich about it. But those are the names kind of rumbling around.
Yeah, their agents and the communication that those were all those names were being considered for this job until Gary Anderson stepped in and said, I'll come back.
Wow. Oh. That is a pretty good list.
That's the Pepper Utah State?
For a Mountain West school? Lou Piniella missed the Hall of Fame by one vote yesterday.
Shaking my head.
Needing 12 votes to get there via the Today's Game Era Committee. I don't know what that is. Yeah. But Sweet Lou tallied 11, needed 12.
It's because he's a Mariner, former Mariner. Mm. That's depressing because, you know, Edgar's like a couple votes away. Now Lou Piniella, one vote away. I mean, the only one that, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., one moron, didn't vote him unanimous. What is it? I mean, I get it. The Mariners are a sad organization.
They are.
But it's just utter embarrassment.
Yeah, that is pretty dumb. This, by the way, these are not writers that do this. I didn't know what the Today's Game Era, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, what are we doing here exactly?
It is former Hall of Famers, or not former Hall of Famers. It is Hall of Famers who are on a panel and they vote. And so Harold Baines, former White Sox DH, and Cubs reliever Lee Smith are the guys that got in.
Harold Baines is a DH.
Yes.
Before Edgar Martinez.
Well, no. This isn't the regular Hall of Fame. It's a different.
I know.
Like, there's a big.
Yeah, I know.
There's a big gap there.
But the fact is that that's a DH getting in.
And these are guys that are no longer on the ballot that Hall of Famers believe deserve to get in.
And that's probably good news for Edgar because it sets the precedent that we can have designated hitters here.
Well, yeah.
Well, why not?
I mean, Big Hurt's in too, and by the end of his career, he was DH, right? So
he was, but I think I read Lou. Baines was the first one to be a predominantly DH, play the majority of his games at DH.
Well, that's good. Good. Hopefully Edgar's going to be getting next. The Lakers are eyeing a trade to add Trevor Ariza to their lineup.
He's not happy.
No.
Would you be happy in Phoenix?
No, the Suns.
But why did he sign there?
Terrible.
They were going to be
terrible
again.
Because they offered him money.
Well, yeah, a lot of money.
Bad. We didn't think that they would be this bad, though.
No, I don't think
Devin Booker being hurt is
we didn't think they're going to be
massive. They're horrible.
Yeah, we thought Ayton would be a little bit better as a rookie.
He can barely even get on the floor. Yeah. But Trevor Ariza, it looks like he'll be heading to L.A. Lakers are willing to give guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but they're looking for a third team. The deal can't be finalized until Saturday, which is the day that players who were acquired in the offseason can be dealt. So they're looking for a third team between now and Saturday. Blazers? Will the Blazers be the third team?
Who are they going to get?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Who did they? Another guard?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Move some guards around.
Flip anybody for another draft pick.
Blazers are off. Yeah, maybe they can get the Suns' unprotected first-round pick, huh?
There you go.
Not going to happen.
No.
Blazers off tonight. They'll be back at it tomorrow on the road against the Houston Rockets, which also are pretty bad this year. Houston, 11-14 on the year. They had, like, championship aspirations this year. All right. Did you see Big Ben got hurt in yesterday's loss to the Oakland Raiders?
Well, he got hurt. Then he got a shot and came back in.
Yeah. How long did... Okay, this is my question to you. He hurt his ribs in the first half.
Yeah.
He stayed in all of halftime, all of the third quarter, until he finally came out of the locker room. How long does it take for those shots to kick in?
I don't know. It just depends on what they're doing. I don't know what they're... I know what they would used to give us then, but I'm not quite sure. It's painful. Oh. Rib injury.
But no, like when you got... I'm assuming you got those shots,
I never
right?
got a pre... Oh, really? an in-game shot in my career, ever.
Oh. How long did the pregame ones take, though?
Toradol? Toradol was that high dose, very, very, very high dose of anti-inflammatory. We call it the T-train. It was what you would get in line.
And
take the take Toradol shots. Very not healthy in today's world.
No.
It really isn't. It was a blood thinner, and it's... But it would last the entire game.
But did it kick in almost immediately?
Yeah, it usually kicked in right around early first quarter.
Okay, so that's why it took him so long. If that's what he got, it probably took that long for him to get back out there, feel healthy.
Yeah.
Those ribs are going to be something to keep an eye on.
Like I said, I broke two of my ribs before. I had to sleep in a chair for a month. It was awful.
Worst part about ribs is that if you break one in the front, you feel it in the back. And when you break one in the back, you feel it in the front. You're always uncomfortable.
Every deep breath, and then you're just like, hurts to breathe. And then try getting hit there again.
Yeah.
That's I had good. Ribs for dinner last night.
Oh.
Dynamite drop.
Jerry Jones, by the way, is saying they have not contacted Jason Witten about returning for the playoffs.
So he's calling Schefter a liar?
Yep.
Jason Garrett now not saying that
Hold on.
Though.
Schefter is on a streak of some bad reports
some bad
lately.
Takes.
Yeah.
The Condoleezza Rice. He had one just this past week, too. What was the other one outside of the Witten one?
There was another.
But he's on a bad stretch. Monday Night Football is right here on the Fan. NFC playoff implications. If you look at the NFC playoff picture, Seattle hosting Minnesota doesn't get much bigger than this. The Seahawks are 7-5 on the year. The Vikings are 6-5-1. These are the fifth and sixth teams, respectively, in the wild card race right now for the NFC.
Well, it's set up for Seattle to have a great run to finish because they've faced now the Dallas Cowboys and won on the road to the Carolina Panthers, who are reeling. Man, what's wrong with the Panthers? Ron Rivera's going to get fired. And now you get a chance to face Minnesota.
Minnesota?
You get pretty much control your destiny now. You're going to have a tough run because you're going to face Kansas City, but maybe Kansas City might be cruising by that time. You never know.
Yeah.
They got a huge lead for the one seed over the Pats.
Especially with what happened this weekend.
Two-game lead over them.
It's big because if you win this game for Seattle, you get the Niners, Chiefs, Cardinals in
all
the final 3 weeks.
All resting. They're all going to be resting.
Hot and Cool on the Fans brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. You mentioned that AFC playoff picture. It is more murky than ever. What is on the line for the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward after the absolute implosion by seeds 2-6 behind them? Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 719, Dusty, Eric, Cam, Cleveland. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. Our case of the Monday is what's grinding your gears coming up at 745. Wide right, we usually do it at this time. We will be doing it later. We've had some technical difficulties. The power went out down here, and it screwed up our computers. Power.
Yeah.
My gosh.
We need it. We're kind of...
We do need electricity.
We need electricity's power.
It is good.
Radio needs power.
Yep. But we're talking NFL today. AFC playoff picture, what a weird day it was in the AFC. Yesterday, you had the Baltimore Ravens taking Kansas City to overtime, where the Chiefs win. But outside of the Chiefs, every single division leader lost yesterday. The Patriots take an L in Miami, you called it. The Pittsburgh Steelers take an L in Oakland. The Texans lose. And the Baltimore Ravens, the second-best wildcard team, also lost yesterday.
Yeah.
The AFC is a mess right now. If you go 2-9 in the AFC, it is wide open with the exception of the two AFC West teams.
Well, isn't it good? Isn't that, when you say mess, it's like you look at it as, oh, messy.
Oh, I love it.
I think it's great. I think that's what makes football so important when we're talking the NFL perspective, why it's so important in December, why we want to see everybody's mathematically still in. Do you know Green Bay mathematically is still in? I mean, that's what the NFL does to you. It just holds on through the month of December, and we get to look at the playoff scenario, and you're looking at Baltimore, and you're sitting at the 5 seed. The LA Chargers, 5 seed, 10-3.
Yeah. They could have the second best record.
Correct.
In the AFC.
They'll finish 13-3. I'm going to call it.
Oh, so, but they have Kansas City this weekend.
I know, because Kansas City's going to rest, so they would be 1-1. They'll finish 13-3. Kansas City will finish 13-3, and there'll be some sort of crazy tiebreaker to handle.
You think that Kansas City's going to rest on Thursday night this week?
No. I don't think they're going to rest, but I think L.A. is going to beat them.
Okay, because that one it's on the road at Arrowhead. Yeah. That's Thursday Night Football, which that's going to be exciting.
I think it's going to be a tie between those two. They'll both make the playoffs, but for some reason, there's got to be, I don't know what the next tiebreaker is off the top of my head, a head-to-head,
your division
matchup. So then it will come down to 2-13-3 teams, and that would be great, because then you're looking at New England, the way they finished, and then Houston and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just floundering.
Yeah, and this is the big question that you have here with the AFC. 9-4 New England, 9-4 Houston. One of those two teams is going to be the 2 seed. And then you have Pittsburgh at 7-5-1, and they look horrendous right now. They lose in Oakland yesterday, which the dominance of the NFL was on full display when you had, within 30 seconds, the game-tying touchdown by Philly, and then the game-winning touchdown by the Raiders. Within 30 seconds of each other, that drama was unfolding in the NFL, which is why the Red Zone channel is awesome.
Oh, it's great.
And why the NFL is king. But Pittsburgh now, if you look at how they've played it out, they've lost three in a row, are still somehow the division leaders because Baltimore lost in overtime to Kansas City.
And again, what did Pittsburgh do? They went on the road to a West Coast game and lost.
You know Big Ben's record in Oakland?
It's got to be brutal.
0-4.
Yeah.
In his career, 0-4.
Right. Can't go on the road. That's why Pittsburgh will always tell you, and I know you want to blame your kicker and you want to go against the muddy, dirty, poopy field of Oakland Alameda Stadium, which was a bad plant foot, man. He got too much on an angle. I'm not a kicking expert, but I'll tell you, if a kicker starts to claim that it was a turf problem, kick the ball.
Well, when he planted his foot, the entire ground just shifted in front of him.
Got to prepare for that. Got to prepare for it.
Goodness gracious.
You're a kicker. You have one job.
Brutal.
One job.
And they had a hook and ladder to set it up, too. Yesterday, the day of the hook and ladder, with whatever the hell the New England Patriots were doing with Rob Gronkowski being deep in a situation where Ryan Tannehill couldn't throw it that far. And then they get on a hook and ladder. And then the Steelers set up what could have been a game-tying field goal to force overtime on a hook and ladder yesterday.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool finishes. And to see that Patriot finish, it's not that you would you have done anything different down in the red zone for the Patriots? They had enough time. They knew they had a two-point lead, so they got to kick the field goal because you want to make it a touchdown game because you don't want to leave 3 points on the line and say, well, now you have 2 points, so if you only win by two, you go for it on fourth down. You don't get it. Now Miami can go down and kick a field goal and win the game. So great play, great decision by the Patriots. What they were doing with their defense and understanding that it was 69 yards by Rob Gronkowski. He was there. Ryan Tannehill, coming off of shoulder surgery, is not going to be able to throw the ball. I think it would have been equivalent where he set up 73-yard throw to get it to the end zone.
What about, though, in having Gronk back there is what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are getting criticized for. What about the other five defensive backs that were on the field that could have made a play?
What about the other 10
you're
guys?
Saying, I know, but I'm talking guys that could run down Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
There's five other DBs, and none of them were in a position to make a play on it, and Gronk is taking the brunt of it. Do you think that, I mean, it is short-sighted to have him, and if it works out and Gronk makes a tackle, we're not talking about it.
No.
But there's five other DBs that were on the field at that time.
Well, there were five other DBs, but it looked like everybody else was waiting for somebody to make a play.
Yeah.
Kind of watching, waiting for somebody to make a play. And I think, I can't remember which offensive lineman for the Dolphins. It was number 63. This dude is huge. I think it was left guard. Makes a block, initial block for Tannehill, then runs all the way down the field and makes the game-winning block on a screen. It just sets a great screen. Yeah. And then Gronk, one of the most unathletic plays you've ever seen. But you can't expect a guy, Gronkowski, to know how to play center field and make a play like that. I mean, he's not built for that. That's not what he plays.
He's a big number 62 trucking down the field. That was an incredible effort. I love when the big fellas get into it.
It was a fat guy weekend, man. The Bears catching a touchdown.
On what they called, what's the name of the play? Nagy called it Santa Claus
something.
Santa Slay that play was called.
Yeah, because wasn't it also last year Kansas City that Andy Reid called it Hungry Pig, right? And then they had that play.
Terry Poe.
Yeah.
And then you had also Joe Staley had a catch yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Big guys, man. Big guys make plays.
Here's a stat about
negative 4 yards.
Here's a stat about Joe Staley. Three career catches for the left tackle of the San Francisco 49ers. None of them intended for him. No. That's pretty good luck in your career.
He was a tight end at Central Michigan.
Was he really?
And ran track and field.
You dang right.
Did he run or throw?
No, he was a hurdler in high school.
My coach would call eating themselves into a 70s number.
Yeah, that's basically what they had him do.
Probably what he did.
Central Michigan, home of the best misrecruited players of all time.
Antonio Brown.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Was a tight end there, and he ended up transferring and becoming a defensive end. Joe Staley, a tight end, becomes a all-pro left tackle, surefire Hall of Famer, and then Antonio Brown, who pretty good.
So if you're looking at this, let's circle back here real quick because I wanted to get a quick prediction. We sit here with 3 weeks left in the NFL season, the way the AFC sits. Kansas City's 1, New England's 2, Houston 3, Pittsburgh 4. Okay, after that, you got 5 and 6 sit at the Chargers in Baltimore. Does it end up like that?
No.
Where's the change?
No.
I mean, think about it. Houston's got a pretty good stranglehold. They got Indianapolis has got their lead on them. I mean, I'm sorry. They got a 2-game lead on Indianapolis. They feel pretty comfortable about the Steelers and the Ravens. I think the Ravens might catch them and the Steelers drop out of the wild card, or does Indianapolis catch? What's going to be the change? And could the Steelers fall from being division leaders to out of the playoffs?
They are going to fall out of the playoffs. They got New England next week. Then they go on the road to New Orleans before finishing the season with the Bengals. And we were talking about potentially the second to last week of the season, last 2 weeks, the Chiefs sitting guys because they feel comfortable if they get a win this Thursday against
the Chargers. This is a big game.
Well, the Saints don't have that luxury because they got teams nipping on their heels in the NFC.
They want the one seed.
And they need the one seed. Mm-hmm. Be indoors the entire time. So I think Pittsburgh falls out. And then it's not just Baltimore at 6. At 7 and 6, you have Baltimore, Indy, Miami, Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
All four of those teams are 7 and 6 right now. And you could feasibly see any of those teams making the playoffs. Pittsburgh may fall out of the playoffs with 2 more losses. Mm-hmm. They'll be 7-7-1 heading into the final week of the year.
Of all those teams, the only team that is scary to me is Indianapolis, and that's because of Andrew Luck. That's it.
Yeah. And they would have to take on either New England.
Correct.
Or Houston. Either one of those teams,
whichever one finishes third. The lower seed, whichever the 2 or 3 seed. But New England's probably going to be, they're not going to allow that crap to happen again like Miami. Tony, it happens every single flipping year.
Yeah.
What is it, Brady now 7-10 in Miami in his career?
There's a lot of stuff that happened in that game. The last play is one, but how about Brady taking a sack at the end of the first half instead of turfing the ball or throwing it away? He said he thought they had a timeout remaining. It would have been a chip shot field goal. Yeah.
Mental error.
As time expired of the half. So there's 3 points. Steven Gostkowski missed a field goal from, I think, like 39 or something like that, and then missed an extra point as well. I mean, there's plenty of points left on the field in Miami for the Patriots. It wasn't just that end of the game, but that still goes down to it. There's a lot of teams you just do not trust in the AFC right now. New England being one of them, Houston, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and then the rest of the teams in the wild card hunt. The two best teams are in the AFC right now. In the wild card team, the Los Angeles Chargers, maybe the most dangerous.
Most scary team right now.
I mean, that team looks good.
And what are they based on? Excellent defense, and they run the football. Melvin Gordon.
Well, and that's going to be one thing to keep an eye on, as with Melvin Gordon being out right now, their backup running back got hurt too. What's his name?
Austin Eckler, yeah.
He got hurt yesterday, too. He got dinged up. He got a concussion. So now you're looking at, if Eckler's not able to go on a short week this Thursday, that run game could be in some trouble heading into biggest game of the year against the Kansas City Chiefs. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. As the AFC is up in the air, the NFC, you mentioned it, you got some stability there, and it could all be decided mainly tonight. If Minnesota gets a win in Monday Night Football, we'll talk about that. Plus, Aaron Rodgers in the pack, not quite done yet. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we just talked about the AFC and what a wild weekend it was, with New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, Baltimore all losing. Three of the four division leaders going down. The only division leader that did win was Kansas City. In the NFC, I think we're starting to get a clear picture of how this is all playing out. New Orleans is now the one seed after the Rams got absolutely suffocated by the Bears last night. Although they do have the same record, New Orleans winning at home a few weeks back has the tiebreaker head-to-head over L.A. Then you have the Bears in the driver's seat firmly in the NFC North. The Dallas Cowboys, they've won 5 in a row and look like they are in cruise control for the NFC East. And then you have the Seahawks solidifying their spot at 7-5 in the wild card. In the Vikings, 6-5-1, because nobody else is playing well.
No, nobody else is playing well. And I think that if you watched last night, you got to see Green Bay, that's a whole other story. They came out of nowhere, and Aaron Rodgers just said that it was the best week of practice he had all year. Shots across the bow to Mike McCarthy.
Do we think that that was like?
A straight shot.
But Buck is trying to effort the audio for that because we're having problems. And he said, you know, best week of practice that we've had. And he goes, you know, it's, you don't usually say this, but it's usually lip service and try to get him motivated. He goes, but it actually was our best week of practice.
He said it was very efficient. Guys were crisp. They accomplished a lot during the week and they came out and made plays and everybody felt energized. I don't know what to tell you other than that's what happens when you get kind of an injection of the old attitude, the bad mojo, whatever was going on in Green Bay. It was Mike McCarthy issue. And you got to see Aaron Rodgers says, I didn't want the coach around. I mean, those of you that think that there wasn't turmoil between the two, you can put the lip service out there and hear Aaron Rodgers will tell you what you want to hear. But behind the scenes, they did not get along and it caused tension, caused problems in the locker room. And all they did was go out and stomp a hole in Atlanta, which Atlanta looks terrible. I don't know what happened to them. They're 4-9. But don't be surprised if Green Bay sneaks up and catches and passes the Minnesota Vikings.
What happened to Atlanta is their entire defense is
obliterated. Yeah, they're decimated.
With injuries. And their offense kind of
But if
sucks
you like Julio
now.
Jones and your fantasy football points, he did great for you.
He did great. He did. Well, so did George Kittle.
Mm. Oh, my. He's my favorite player in the NFL right now.
Oh, well, tight end shocker.
Well, it's not just tight end. He had 210 yards receiving. Yeah. And did you see that Kyle Shanahan apologized to him for not getting the record?
Well, yeah, because he didn't get the ball once in the second half. He had seven catches, 210 yards, and two touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
First half.
Yeah.
He was 5 yards away from the NFL
I've said this, and this I've told my story in my final game, my rookie year, too, when I told my coach and told the quarterback, and Billy Joe's like, we'll get you catches, buddy. We're going to get you those incentives. And I finished with 10. It'd be nice if George Kittle would have walked up to Coach Shannon and said, hey, I need some catches.
That's on Mullins. Nick Mullins needs to be like, I'm getting you the ball once, at least.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know.
It's a problem.
I don't know. But they beat Denver, so that's cool.
It is.
But you look at teams that are in tailspins right now. Carolina lost their fifth game in a row. They still have a shot at the playoffs. They're 6-7, just behind. But Cam Newton is playing horrific football. And so just the team as a whole, the only guy who's playing well is Christian McCaffrey.
So I took a couple things out of the last stretch down in that red zone where they went for it on third down. Mm-hmm. He threw a back shoulder football, which was, I thought was, it was a good call. And you heard Chris Carter on the, Chris Carter not only argued with, who was doing the second, former guard out of Denver.
Schlereth.
Yeah. What's his nickname?
Mark Schlereth.
Stink. He kept going, I disagree with you, Stink. And he was like, all right, I disagree with you over and over again. But Chris Carter said that was a bad call because the wide receiver he threw it to is not one of those guys that understands ball skills down in the red zone. I'm like, what, Chris? Really? He's not the take the top off. He's the take the top off you guy. He's not a ball skill guy late down in the end zone. Okay, well, Cam Newton threw a rocket ball on the back shoulder. Not a catchable football at all. And then on fourth down, what was that throw? It was a terrible football throw.
It's Cam Newton, though.
He's an incredible athlete.
This is what we come accustomed to, is Cam Newton will show you flashes that he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, but then two games later, he will show you that he is one of the more erratic, inconsistent guys and can be just as bad as anybody in the league.
I just thought it was fundamentally off the back foot, throwing it too hard, falling backwards. There were some fundamental things that just didn't look very good, didn't give his guy a chance to really catch it. As a quarterback, your job is to soften the football in the red zone unless you need to drive it, and he just didn't do it.
Okay, so then they're in a tailspin. They've lost five in a row, and they got the Saints this week. They got Saints two of their next three, and New Orleans will be playing for something because there's no separation between them and the Rams. So Carolina is in a tailspin. The Eagles are actually playing probably the best of these teams that can push Minnesota, but they've got the Rams, Texans, and then they finish with the Redskins. They've got a tough run, so it's going to be hard catching anybody in front of them. And then we just mentioned Washington.
They're done.
Is completely 40-0.
Yeah, they're done.
The Giants had a 40-0 lead on them.
Yeah.
And they're done. But here it is. You said it. Green Bay, 5-7-1. They are just a game back of the Minnesota Vikings.
And when the Seahawks beat Minnesota tonight, Green Bay will start smiling because now they can go catch them.
But Green Bay does have the Bears and then they have to go on the road to the Jets and the Lions to finish the year.
Very winnable. All winnable games. Three. All winnable games.
Well, two of the three. I mean, Chicago is looking good.
I think I'll tell you right now, I believe that Green Bay is going to win out. They have a tiebreaker, which they're going to end up being ahead of Minnesota.
What tiebreaker do they have over Minnesota? Because they
both have ties.
They're 0-1-1
right.
against each that. Other. So the head-to-head would go to Minnesota.
But that's what I'm saying. Minnesota's going to lose out. They're not going to play. After they get beat tonight, they're going to tank. That's my utter prediction.
Because they would have Miami, the Lions, mm-hmm. and the Bears yeah. remaining on their schedule.
Right. Yeah, I don't like the way Minnesota's finishing. I don't. Okay. I haven't seen Kirk Cousins in the playoffs win a playoff game, much less be the guy that's going to lead them. So tonight might be that backbreaker game where they fall to the wayside. And if you're going to also use that Green Bay metric, which Aaron Rodgers is going to tell you they've been re-energized with his playing ability. I mean, he threw it all. He played his best football game yesterday.
He did.
Oh, and why?
Best game of the year.
Why?
Because he hates Mike McCarthy. Is that what you're going with?
I'm
going
to go with the handcuffs are off or the frustration. And maybe that there's kind of a collective sigh of relief, I think, in Green Bay.
I saw a stat about that game with Philbin calling the plays where Aaron Jones, their running back, he had been splitting time and he ended up out-touching his backup 20-4 in that game and more touches by him. And Aaron Rodgers had been saying his jabs at Mike McCarthy, we need to get Aaron Jones a ball more mm-hmm. Throughout the course of the year. He ended up getting the ball a heck of a lot more, and it kind of just opened up everything else in that offense for the Green Bay Packers. So you think they're going to make a run?
I think they'll make a run. They're going to keep it pretty close. I don't like anybody else in that division. I certainly don't like the way the Panthers are playing, and Philly feel like they were broken. Yeah. They were really broken. That play calls, just some of the calls they had against them and the way they lost to Dallas, which was a great football game. Referees kind of botched it up a little bit. But you can't blame referees. You can't blame kickers. In the end, it is the football players that decided that game, and it was in overtime, and Dallas was better.
Time to fire it up. Case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears? 55305, the Better You Today text sign. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A Case of the Mondays, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Time to get your gripes out there before you head into work. Your Case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears this morning? Mr. Cleland, do you have one coming out of the weekend? Are you feeling good?
I'm always feeling good.
Energized by the holiday season? Do you have the holiday spirit?
I made a big effort, put up some lights.
Oh, in the rain. In the rain?
Yeah, I did it in the rain.
You did it in the rain?
Yeah, I did it in the rain.
I see.
Did I do that?
Should have done it Veterans Day.
Got the Christmas tree.
Oh, you did?
Finally got the Christmas tree. Accomplished everything you need to do in the holidays.
Did you go out and cut it down yourself?
No. Supported the local Boy Scouts. Got one of their trees.
I'm on my way. There's something about it. We live out here. I feel you have to go and cut it down.
Wait, did you know that there is a massive tree shortage?
Yeah, I know. I went to three different tree farms because of it.
Yeah, huge tree shortage going on. So, there was a local fundraiser going on, so I thought it was great. We took time out. It was raining. We didn't want to trounce through the mud, so took time out to donate back.
Did you pay out your
no, it was great
to do it?
It's great.
No, you didn't?
No. Okay, no.
Good. I know a lot of people out there are paying exorbitant amounts for your Christmas tree this year because of the tree shortage.
Uh-huh.
It's all out there. All right, 55305. Case of the Mondays. This weekend, I was on kid duty. Got one to bed after she pooped in the bathtub and sat down to recollect myself. Power goes out. That's the worst. That is the worst when you're on dad duty and you're sitting there and you're going, everything that can go wrong, you know, the Murphy's Law kind of hits you all at once. Yeah. And you finally get that moment to decompress. Maybe flip on the TV and then boom, power goes out. That would be a horrible feeling. That's a decent case of the Mondays for you.
It is. It's quality.
Got hit by a football in the neck. It looks like a hickey. Have to meet my girlfriend's family tonight.
Well, If it looks like a hickey, you claim it. Wait. Why would you not claim it? Just claim it. Just own that.
Not to her family. You want that as your first impression of the of your wife's family or your girlfriend's family?
Well, I think you need to go solid 1999 and go black turtleneck.
How is it? That's what I'm talking about. Wear a turtle. Chris Collinsworth wore a turtleneck last night on Sunday Night Football.
I will own it, and I will shout from the mountaintops. I owned 3 Banana Republic turtlenecks.
Not surprising.
Gray, cream, and black.
Oh.
You know what color I'm talking about.
You were Ross Geller.
Off-white.
you were Ross Geller.
Oh, you're damn right I was. Never had a hickey problem, though. That was off-limits.
Huh.
Maybe it's more of a thing. Do they even do that anymore?
I think I had one.
I don't think that's in. I don't think nobody does that.
It
anymore.
Is in. I got my hair cut last week, and my stylist, her name is Kim. She said that she had her son came home with a hickey. He's 18, and she was like,
18.
What is on your neck? And then she gave him the third degree, and she's like, am I wrong for doing that? I'm like, well, he's 18. Like,
no, he's 18.
What do you think is going to happen? And she was like, I know. I just don't want to. I'm like, well, it happens.
When I was in high school, hickey. That was a thing.
Mark your territory.
Mark your territory.
It's like a dog peeing on a tree.
Exactly. Make sure. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do when you're just hanging out at the house? There was no Netflix back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a case of the Mondays. George Kittle and Amari Cooper.
Ooh, baby.
Robert,
didn't start him?
No. I was up like 113-60 in fantasy football playoffs until those two guys took the field. Mm-hmm. Two guys.
Two.
Lost it because of two guys in a runaway. Congratulations, Robert Raymond. Whooped me. Just two people. First day of my new promotion. Have to drive to Klamath Falls today. I live in Kelso, Washington.
What's a promotion? You can't complain.
Oh, my God.
You can't do that.
No. Have you ever been to Klamath Falls?
No. Isn't it east?
No.
Where is it?
It is the bung of Oregon, down south central Oregon.
South central.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're almost to the border.
Okay.
Middle of the state, in the border. It's a dump of a town. It's a horrible drive, especially from Kelso. It's where OIT is.
You're throwing barbs all over the place.
Oh, bitter rival of SOU is Oregon Tech.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's in Klamath Falls. I've had nothing but miserable times in Klamath. A couple good times in Klamath, but not a good place to go drive. I'm with him. That is a bad.
I'm kind of feeling for everybody. That
7 hours.
There's not much hate coming across the text line this morning. Everybody's in a good mood. It's the holidays. Mm. Did you have yourself a beverage over the weekend?
I had a lot. I went to a Christmas party.
Ooh.
Kids went down, stayed with the in-laws.
I had 2 Christmas parties this weekend, too. I had one. Let me just tell you. I had one on Friday. That was an adult get out of the way party that went happened.
What does that mean?
Let me just say that 40-year-olds that throw up in yards.
I like it.
Pass out in bedrooms.
Cool.
Puke in garbage cans.
Had a few of those happen at mine too, yeah.
A lot of butt sitting.
What is butt sitting? Just sitting?
Where drunk people just walk from each other's and just sit on each other.
I do not know. I do not know.
You know
that.
What I'm talking about? Where you get the courtesy drunk hug from the drunk wife that wants to come.
Oh, so people just sit on each other's laps?
Sitting on each other's laps. Just laps sitting all over the place.
So you were at an orgy?
No, I was not.
Oh.
I left early. I was.
So maybe.
So it turned into one, maybe.
I might have. I'm telling you, it was a over 40 and frisky party.
Oh, my God.
And it also was a white elephant party where I killed it. Best gift out there. Killed it.
What did you get?
Okay. I don't know. Do I want to? Okay, so I got.
Oh, my God. Just tell us.
I got Pepto-Bismol tablets.
Okay.
I got butt wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Imodium.
Okay.
Also, some make sure your stomach's okay. So I made sure everything was okay, and make sure you get all that stuff taken care of, and no anti-diarrhea medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a $20 gift certificate to Muchas Gracias for everybody.
I love Muchas Gracias.
Yeah,
Muchas is delicious.
I'm not saying
Mexican
it's. I'm
food.
Not saying it's not.
You've got to.
But everybody went, "What's that?" And then I put the gift certificate, and I said, "Enjoy." Boom. I said, "Enjoy."
That's very polite of you.
Huh?
That's
pretty good idea, huh?
Very polite of you.
It was the hit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right.
You're welcome for all those ideas I just gave you.
I don't think it's the best one I've ever heard, but that's a good one.
But it's creative.
I mean, you're really patting yourself on the back.
You're damn right, because everybody loved it.
That was pretty good with the Pepto and the Imodium.
Yeah.
That's a nice add-on to it. It really brings the whole thing together. All right, wow. Here comes, right when you said it seems like everybody's happy, we got a lot of Case of the Mondays coming through. 55305, the Better You Today text line. We'll get to some of those. Plus, coming up next hour, we have our wide right, and we return to our textual relations. Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner. Dustin Cam on the Fan.